listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Boys are at Carbach and coming this spring to the Carbach campus. Pizza and Pints, a new slice of heaven opening this spring at the brewery. Our new pizzeria offers ice cold beer and deliciously crafted pizza made with love. Follow us on social at Carbach Pizza to get the latest news and information on our grand opening. Great spot if you're looking for a Thursday night supper, Thursday night drink. Great night for tomorrow, this weekend, whenever at Carbach. Nevada leads Dayton 42-29, 15.5 left to play in the second. So the 10 seed looking good there. And then the 11 seed, Oregon, looking good against the Gamecocks of South Carolina. 74-61 Oregon, 4-10 left to play in that one. So
I like that one.
Got hot. You had Oregon going in your bracket?
Yeah, I got them winning a couple of rounds. I like
oh,
the
really?
Fact that, yeah, they
yeah,
we discussed like dark horses the other day while you were out, and that was one of Joel's dark horses.
That was my dark horse. Yeah, I just feel like they've been dinged up all year. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing well. You know, they had that good run through the Pac-12 tournament, and now they lead the Gamecocks by 12 with 4:10 left to play.
Good
real quick
coach,
before
too.
We get yep. What's that?
Good coach.
You're a fan
too.
Of Dana Alford?
Dana Alford. I think he's good, and he's got a good record in the tournament.
Willie on the Twitch, real quick. Warriors or Lakers? Who's more embarrassed if they miss the play-in? I think it's a good question.
Man, I think both. I mean, I think they both should be embarrassed if they miss the playoffs. There's still too much talent on either team, just as top-heavy as they
more.
Can be.
One's got to be more. I'll go Lakers because they have LeBron.
I was going to go Lakers because they put up a banner for the in-season tournament. To then miss the playoffs, that would be pretty embarrassing to me.
You can't put them
in the in-season.
What a season they've had.
That's a brand
they've
of button
had a
right
season.
There, buddy.
They've had a great season.
I know. I forgot that was part of
Brandon. That is a Branham button this year, buddy.
Yeah, I forgot that was part of his
gimmick
right
now.
The Lakers
won the NIT. They've already raised the banner and held the trophy this season. Like it's only anything else is just gravy for the Lakers.
All right, Branham gimmick aside, to hoist a in-season tournament banner into the rafters of a franchise like the Lakers that has, 17, 18 NBA championships, to then miss the playoffs when 10 seeds get in? That would be embarrassing.
I think it's more the Lakers because their stars can still play. I think Chris Paul is a shell of himself. I think Klay Thompson has proven to be way less than what he once was.
Right.
And no matter what level Steph is playing on, you know, you add it, you still got a guy like Kuminga that can play. You got some young guys that can still contribute. And yet, you are who you are, and I don't think anybody's intimidated by the Warriors like they once were. When the Lakers walk into a building and you start with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they should have a better-than-average chance to win.
Yeah, I think it's the Lakers too. John Rahm has his master's dinner has been published. We know what his master's dinner is now. He's starting it off with tapas. I love tapas. Now it's all in Spanish, so it's tough. Like one of them is this acorn-fed ham, cured pork loin. Another one is this spicy chorizo potato. That sounds delicious, actually. This one's like a cheese with a black truffle. Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew. Spanish omelet, onions, and potatoes, and then a creamy chicken fritters with potatoes. What do you think of the tapas portion of the Rahm's master dinner?
I think you got good choices. I can make that work. I can find something I like. Yeah, I think that there's something for everybody, and if you want to go kind of more traditional and back home like he was going for, and if you don't, there's other options. I don't have a problem with it.
I feel a little disappointed after the tapas, though. Like, I see tapas, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. And most of those options don't really sound that good.
So you don't like the tapas options?
I don't or like the ones that he has tapas. Presented. No, I don't like
That's
the ones
fair.
He has presented.
I don't know
Some
why.
Of them are good,
I don't know.
Not all.
The bragging point of the acorn-fed ham seems a little bit odd. I'm not sure why.
Still sounds all right.
It's still ham, so I'm sure it'll be good. But the fact that the pig ate acorns, I don't know why that makes it
it's
a better tasting ham. I guess, but most of it sounds okay. I mean, I like chorizo. I like potatoes. There's stuff on here I would eat, but it sounds like there's not a lot here I would put on mine. Master's dinner, but there's a lot of stuff that I would definitely try.
That's where I'm at. Like, I see tapas, and I'm like, yes. And then it's like, oh, these are the ones? Eh. His first course after that, he's got a crab salad with potato. Not even really sure what that is.
Like, crab salad with potato?
I've never heard of that. I've heard of crab salad, but not with potato. That's the part that seems a little odd.
Right, but I would think the way I envisioned it would be something like a potato salad with crab in it.
That could be good.
I'm fine with that.
That could be good. Yeah. That could be good.
That's a weird first course. That's more of a side. That's weird.
Yeah, and that's your only first course, too, right?
Yeah,
that's your only choice.
That is.
You don't have options.
And then
I would have given
course,
options.
Yeah, me too. That's more of a side, I think. His main course, he has two of them. He's got a ribeye with, like, lettuce and peppers. And then he's got a, I guess this is, it's called a turbot, Navarro white asparagus.
It's a fish. Yeah.
Turbo?
Why is there a T at the end?
Well, you don't pronounce the T?
Some letters are silent.
I've never heard of a turbo. Have you heard of a turbo?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a mascot for the Rockets back when they were winning championships.
I watch a lot of cooking shows, so I've heard of a turbo. But yeah,
it looks like a flounder to me. I just pulled it up. It
is a fish, so fish can look like flounders.
So I wonder if it tastes
like a flounder.
I'm definitely
going ribeye. I can tell you that. I'm staying away from the turbo.
I'm definitely going ribeye here.
I wonder if it tastes like flounder. Does turbo taste like flounder? Does it taste like flounder? 713-780-3776.
You don't recognize the silent T?
I'm curious what turbo tastes like. I'm going ribeye, no doubt about it. Give me the ribeye. I had a good ribeye last night. For dessert, again, no options. It's a puff pastry cake, custard, and then some sort of cream. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Chantilly cream. I'd have to pass
chantilly
on this
cream.
Dessert.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
fair. I would still
cake and custard alone.
I would still eat it, but it sounds very basic and kind of bland to me, to be honest. Just a puff pastry with some cream. It's like this is supposed to be a special dinner, and this is what
you're
get.
The custard is the best part.
I guess. Yeah, it just sounds very bland and basic to me.
Grade this dinner from 1 to 10.
6.
I think that's where I'm at. Like it's a 6. Like I think
it's got some possibilities, but it could be a lot better.
It's fine. You know. It's fine. It'll do. I would definitely eat the meal, but I would have changes if it were my meal.
I had a better dinner last night. I'm not gonna brag on it. Coach takes us out.
You already tried
before the tournament. It was all coach takes everybody out the night before the tournament. Really appreciate
that.
Do you want me to read it?
That's
it's like
great.
It'll take me a year to read all of everything we had. We had fried calamari. We had fried oysters. Fried lobster. First time I had fried lobster. It was really good. They had like pizza. This is all appetizers. Crab cakes, pizza, fried green tomatoes, and then like a butter board. Wedge salad. You had your option between an onion soup, potato soup. I went potato soup. Then you had your option between a filet mignon, ribeye, or salmon filet. Went ribeye. I should have went filet because of all the
No,
other
I
food.
Think you made the right choice for ribeye.
They were both good. And then like mashed
filet.
Potato side, French fry side, sweet potato casserole side, cream spinach, asparagus. And then they had like chocolate cake, carrot cake, cheesecake, all miniature desserts to choose from.
Good Lord.
I'll take that over Masters dinner.
I'm in.
I would definitely take that menu over the Masters one.
Without question.
No brainer. Netflix is coming out with a new show called Receiver. This is from the producers of Quarterback. I love the names here. Quarterback. Receiver. What's coming up next? The One Tech. I like the Quarterback series, though, last year. Kirk Cousins was on it. You had... Of course, Pat Mahomes was on it, which was cool to follow him around, you know, getting the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. Like, none of the quarterbacks want to do it again. So the receivers are Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle. That's weird. He's a tight end. Debo Samuel and Amon-Ra St. Brown. You watching this?
I would tune into it. I'd be interested. I'd watch the first episode and see how it went. I would hope that it would be along the lines of not all fluff and some substance about some – you know, how it is off the field and kind of, you know, I think the golf one, from what I've seen of it, I liked. If it can go kind of follow along those lines, I'd be good with it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of all these shows. Like, I like the behind the scenes with all of these. So I'm intrigued. I'll watch this. And then did you catch the story? There's a guy betting in, I think it was Louisiana.
Yeah.
I know it was Louisiana. A FanDuel bettor on FanDuel. He turned $2, a $2 parlay, into $1,500, and then after he won it, he received an email from FanDuel that his winnings had been garnished by child support. They knew somehow. They debited his money into, like, I guess, the child support enforcement there in Louisiana, and he had to pay his back child support.
Yeah, that's brutal, man. That, like, stay out of a man's money. Like, I don't know how they get involved in all that, and they can just get in – and do that. But that's brutal that you think you want it big and then you get caught like that. Although, I couldn't disagree more.
Like, I'm happy that FanDuel did this, and I'm happy that these gambling sites can do this. Like, give me the kid should have the money more than the dad should have the money. This guy didn't pay his child support.
Know about those.
Be responsible.
I mean, if they can garnish your wages, they can take
it. I'm saying don't be a deadbeat dad, but it's none of your business if I'm on the side making some gambling money.
Disagree. If you owe money, like I have no patience for this at all.
Yeah, I got two and I hate them.
I know. I have no patience for this at all. If you're back, if you owe from child support, then that should be the first thing you're paying any sort of money to. And you're out here winning $1,500 on FanDuel, absolutely that should go to your child support before it should go to your account.
Now, do we know that this story came out because the guy was upset about the money being taken?
I think he posted it.
How does the story get out?
He posted it, okay. I think he took a picture of it.
Okay, so so it sounds like he wasn't going to give the kids the money then, if he's upset about it and posting it.
I'm not sure how upset he was about it.
It was a surprise. He was buying a bounce house and trying to set some stuff up for his kids.
It's like they got me type of thing. I don't think that he was like upset by it, which is kind of cool. Like, if he shouldn't be complaining about it, that's for sure. If you're going to go to Twitter complaining about it, it's like, oh, hey, guys, I owe money to my kid, but instead of giving it to my kid, this money that I want, I'm just going to pocket it all. No, man. No. Pay up your debts.
It feels like a really weird thing to put out on social media. There's not a lot of ways that you post this and you come out looking good. So it feels like an odd thing to put on social media, but that's just, you know, 2024 for you.
You're right. I think it was more like, dang, they got me. Ha, ha, ha. 8532, they have money to gamble. They should be able to support their kids. Facts, but he only had
$2. Don't be a deadbeat dad. I just don't think they can just – it's their right to just jump into my gambling.
I think the thing the ex-wife would say, if whatever money you had to place the bet, probably should have come to the kids before you placed that bet.
He's trying to make enough money so he could.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
0613, acorn-fed ham is just wild boar. That's their main source of food in the wild.
Ooh.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Maybe it's just a way of saying organic.
I don't want that.
I would try it. I don't think I would like it. Wouldn't be my favorite.
I don't think I'd like wild boar. It doesn't sound like I'd like it.
Sound like it'd be tougher. Yeah. If it's a wild boar, it would sound like it'd be tougher and gamier.
Gamier.
It'd be gamier. I don't know if it'd be tougher.
Well, animals
they fight more.
Well, animals with more muscle content are to produce stringier, tougher meat. So if it's a wild animal compared to a pig that's raised to be eaten, then it could be tougher.
Yeah, you just need a white wine reduction. 3358, the Attorney General monitors all tax section for men owning back child support. I kind of like that they do that, though. Like, that's how Calvin Ridley got busted. Like, you have all these reputable sites that, like, help you out. That's how the college baseball coaches got busted. It's like you have little... Yeah, they have, I don't know what it's called, but they have like a commission that monitors any sort of like red flags, and then they kind of investigate it. I think it's awesome. Like, that's why they should get it in all 50 states. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What's your optimism for the Astros with regular season and opening day just around the corner? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank. I am Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Oregon leading South Carolina, 83-71, 55 seconds left to play. So Blanker's dark horse. It looks like they're going to advance. They are going to advance. And 10-seed Nevada leading 7-seed Dayton, 51-39, 9 minutes left to play in the second half in that one. Boys at Carbach today. Come visit us at Carbach Brewing, located 610-290 Interchange in the Spring Branch area. This spring, maybe not today, but this spring, the weather is going to be really nice and the perfect time to enjoy the beer garden, outdoor space. Head over to CarbachBrewing.com for upcoming events. That's Carbach Brewing. Head over there, see what they got going on. Carbach, always a great spot to hang out. 6100, coming from a single dad raising two girls with no child support. I'm okay with him losing the bet money. Yeah. I mean, I guess some people think differently. I'm giving the money to the kids. No problem with it at all. 713-780-ESPN. We have three matchups today in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket in the Palillo region. Adam Clanton, Patrick Creighton, one of the matchups, the one that went out first. That's a close race, Blankers.
It's tight.
Adam's up 52-48 over Patrick Creighton. Closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I kind of told you.
I thought it would be.
The tail of the tape goes a long way.
People are buying the scrappiness that that Joel was selling there when he was giving the positives there for Patrick Creighton in this fight.
And then in the second matchup between Figgy Fig and Joe George, Figgy Fig has the early lead, 52% to 48%. So that one's going to be tight as well. And then Del Olole and Clint Sterner just got out of the gates. They just tipped off just moments ago.
Okay.
But Clint Sterner has taken a commanding early lead. They started off on a very good run to start the game. Should be the most lopsided one of the day, I would say.
I would agree with that.
Should be the most lopsided. We have three more matchups coming tomorrow in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Of course, March Madness. Everybody loves the brackets, except for some. We'll have some more matchups coming up. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What's your optimism for the Astros? Put it in percentages, 1 through 100. What is your optimism for the Astros this year?
Well, my optimism is probably 97%. Why are you laughing?
You know, I thought you went the exact percentage that the Athletic gave, but actually it was 1% off, so never mind.
I didn't even see it. I was just going based on what you said, and
you
I just
didn't
feel
see it.
Like
you're not looking at the rundown, and it shows you click the link. What are you talking about?
No, I just opened it just now because I got to be ready for the segment, but I didn't read
it. I've been in the rundown since 2:30. So,
okay, well, maybe I didn't get to all of it. My bad. I have total confidence in the Astros. I don't have total confidence like you that they're going to win by like 8, 9, 10 games in the division, but they're going to be in the playoffs, and when they get to the playoffs, they're going to be even better. I believe that this offense is better than a year ago. I believe that the back of the bullpen is unbelievably good. I believe that we'll sort out the 8 pitchers that we're going to deal with throughout the season to figure out the 4 best ones and have the other guys go to the bullpen. And I believe that, you know, with Yiner in the lineup every day, it's a huge bump offensively. So I believe in this team.
Yeah, I think they run away with the division. I'll go 98% on this. The Athletic, they came out with their opening day optimism percentages for each team around the league. They had the Astros seventh behind. They have the Astros at 96%, seventh place, behind the Phillies at 96.9, behind the Rangers at 97%, which I don't see that. Number 3, they have Arizona at 97.3, Atlanta 98.5. I love Arizona. I love Atlanta. And then they have Baltimore at 98.7. A little surprised they have Baltimore over Atlanta here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I would think that the ultimate confidence level would be a Braves team that seems to keep loading up from what they already had, which was more than enough. Arizona's got to still prove it with pitching. Yeah, they made a couple of moves to try and bolster the offense. I thought they had a Cinderella-type run last year. I'm not sold on them being a complete team. I thought the Dodgers might be in it, but the Dodgers pitching, I guess, is a big question mark.
You know what I'm hearing in this list with some of these teams being named, like Arizona, Baltimore, Texas. These are a lot of teams that got to this level of playing really, really good playoff-caliber baseball really recently. So maybe that's part of it. Whereas Braves fans, hey, we've been there, we've done that, we're in the dance, we're going far every single year. So I think just sheer optimism because of the recency bias of these teams getting good just like this year or the year before, that might have boosted their numbers up a little bit. They're all still living in the moment of the team just recently getting to this caliber level of play.
I can see that. 713-780-ESPN Ocho, who's always very optimistic. I'm rather meh about the Astros because they didn't add quality bats. Their starting pitching is questionable at best, and they're hoping for production from a bunch of what-if scenarios. I think their offense is better, though. I would point to the injuries, and you can't predict injury, but if Altuve's healthier, I think he will be. If Jordan's healthier, I'm not too confident about that. But I think where the biggest upgrade comes is the catcher spot. You improve from Maldi to Yiner. Now, does that hurt you defensively? Some would say no. Does that hurt you from a game-calling point of view? That's another hot conversation. But from an offensive-only point of view, the biggest upgrade is Yiner over Martin Maldonado.
No doubt. No doubt. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, you're almost adding him because of the fact that Dusty refused to play him all the time. And now adding him and subtracting the basically non-factor bat that Maldi was, the biggest concern you have is Jake in center field. He's had an unbelievable spring. But even if Jake doesn't work out, there's options to where if Ocho says bats plural, you could point at center field. But other than that, I mean, yeah, you could have added one extra bat in the outfield somewhere that was a versatile bat, maybe. But other than that, it's not bats plural. I don't think that they were ever looking to add more than one.
If we say that Yordan, though, is like a wash in terms of games played, I still think they've upgraded offensively in the outfield. And you might be like, whoa, what are you talking about? Michael Brantley played like in 8 games last year. So the outfield is pretty much the same. And then Corey Jolks, go Cougs, he got tons of starts last year. So, like, that's if you upgrade over the starts that he gave you last year, with Myers being in the lineup more consistently, with Chaz being in the lineup more consistently, then your outfield offensive production is actually going to improve as well.
See, and I think that maybe Ocho might be looking at it that, you know, Chaz was that once in a career year last year, and he doesn't expect him to do the same. I think Chaz is a good major league player. And if Chaz has, you know, even if he doesn't have all the same numbers, as long as he has decent numbers and he's complemented by better players where we talked about, catcher for sure, upgrade there, you have versatility with the other outfield positions, that's just fine for this offense as a in total to be better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I guess the Chaz, what you think of his performance could swing things. Like, if you think
and Abreu,
Chaz
right?
last year had a career year.
Yeah, are you going to get first half Abreu or end of the season Abreu?
Yeah, that would be a swing factor, too. Because I think maybe it's me being an Astro homer, but I think that Abreu is going to be better just because he finished better. Because he finished better, and maybe they give him more off days, which I think helped him a bit. Now, I think it's fair to bring up Chaz, you know, last year as a potential career high. But, you know, hopefully he can produce the same numbers because he's playing every day.
I think the other thing with Abreu, too, is what Michael Bourne told us when he was joining us one of the times he joined us during the season, which is that first year in a new city on a new team is a massive adjustment, and it takes time. Some guys do it, you know, faster than others, but a lot of times that can play a big factor in a guy getting comfortable. I think at the end of the year you saw a guy that finally felt comfortable both, you know, in his skin in Houston in a different uniform and all those things. But that's why I believe Abreu is going to have a better year than he had in total than a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's kind of soft. I think that it could be true. I think it can be true. I think we've seen it be true. I think it's soft, though. Like, if you're allowing that to impact you that, like, in that big a fashion, I think it's pretty soft.
But it's also, Jeremy, he's pressing. He's pressing, right? Because
I think it's a little soft. I think it's
but
a little
he's
soft.
Trying to – we know that some guys – look no further than your pitching staff to realize guys get in their own head. And if you were in one place doing one thing really well for a long period of time, and suddenly you get into a new city where a lot of people you know are questioning the contract, you're pressing, you're trying to fit in, you're trying to impress, and you fail because of the fact that you're putting too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I believe it to be true. I think it can absolutely happen. I'm not disputing that it doesn't happen. I'm saying it's soft. I think it's soft. 0754, my optimism will rise if they can hit. 8437, which team in the division do y'all have as the closest to the Astros? For me, it's the Rangers. Do you have the Rangers or the Mariners?
Yeah, just as much as I believe the Mariners can actually compete for a playoff spot, and I think they'll make the division closer, I think it's the Rangers that are going to be their main competition because that offense isn't going anywhere, no matter what their pitching is. And they signed Lorenzen today. But the big thing for me is that was the best offense in baseball for most of the year last year, and it doesn't seem like they've lost anything. They added some young bats that can hit so from their system. So I think that the Rangers' offense is going to carry them.
Yeah, I love their offense. I just think their pitching's meh. 6927 at Altuve. He's healthy to start the season. He missed tons of games last year. Total Arlington, my confidence level, Rangers 99.9%, Astros 70. Thanks for chiming
Shocker.
In, Total Arlington.
Yeah.
9229, Blankers, you're my favorite host on the station. I've been a lifelong Rangers fan, but I still love the show. I'll put a wager that the Rangers win the division and outscore the entire Major League Baseball and run scored. A bottle of your favorite beverage, ?
Let me think about that one. I mean, look, I'm not disputing their offense, and I'm not disputing. I don't know why he wouldn't make a bet with you, too, because you said they're going to win it by 10 games.
You're his favorite. That's why.
It doesn't matter. I'm trying to get you in on this. I mean, the same way we fleeced Joe George on the Bears winning the division.
I don't like making bets with listeners anymore because the bets that
that's right, they don't
the
pay up.
They don't
it's
pay
tough
me.
To track them
the
down.
The bets I lose against listeners, I do pay. So I don't like my return on investment here. I've won more
that's
bets than I've lost, and I'm still losing a lot. Why? Because there's cheaters out there that don't pay me when they lose their bets. So I might have retired from making bets. I'm not going to retire, but I'm going to have to know the guy a little bit. Like,
he said Rangers win by 10 games?
No, he didn't say by 10. He said that the Rangers
he just said
win
they
the
would
division,
win the division
and
league,
they scored
league
the most
all the baseball
runs,
run
baseball.
Scored.
Oh, okay. See me in a week or before the season starts. We'll talk.
Yeah, about a week, right? You see what Espada did with the lineup today? He used Pena in the 9 spot, Myers in the 8 spot.
Yeah.
I love that. And they also used Tucker 3, Bregman 4, and he said he might do that in the regular
I
season because he doesn't mind the lefties back-to-back, and he doesn't mind he kind of likes Bregman in the cleanup spot because he's really good with runners in scoring position.
We might be done with the feng shui. Are you a regular season believer now in Jake?
Am I?
Yeah, because that surprised me that Jake's in the 8 and Pena's down in the 9, but maybe Pena relaxes. He is that second leadoff hitter, and it's good for both guys. I just expected Jake to be your 9 hitter.
Well, I mean, I've been more Jake than, you know, us.
Right, you have been, but I'm just saying, you believe that's going to translate to him doing those? I mean,
to me, being a good hitter?
Pena,
to me, Pena batting in the 9 spot is really not dependent on Myers, though. Like, you want Myers to be able to hold his own, but the reason that I like Pena in the 9 spot so he gets the protection of Altuve and Yordan,
like, yeah, the
Pena
second
shined in the 2-hole. Why? Because he had Yordan and Tucker hitting behind him. So I want to see if that translates to him batting 9th, because, you know, 9th and 2nd aren't the same, but Pena's offensive numbers aren't good enough for him to be batting 2nd. They should be batting 8th or 9th, bottom of the order. And then if he gets that protection from Altuve and Yordan, maybe he can put up the numbers he put up in the 2 spot. So that's why I want Pena to bat 9th. It's not because I think Myers is a better offensive player than Pena.
Yeah, I'm curious if that's just he's experimenting right now or if that's going to be a more consistent thing. I just like the fact that Joe is open to a lot of different things, and we're going to see more maybe creativity isn't the right word, but just an open-mindedness to try new things and not be kind of set in your ways a little bit more like Dusty was. I think that excites me with the way he's going to do the lineup.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. 8437, I would argue that Houston's one of the easiest cities to adjust to. I would understand maybe a Hispanic player moving to the Colorado Rockies, not feeling like they fit in as much in the city. That's weird. But Abreu moving to a city that is the most diverse in America and a huge Hispanic scene. I can't imagine it takes even a year. I don't like that word. Not a big fan of that word, Hispanic. 4958, tell that listener I'll take that bet. Okay, we're not going to hold things in escrow so listeners can make bets with other listeners.
We're not playing middleman here.
Would you see what happened with Ohtani and his interpreter today?
Exactly.
Like, avoiding all of this. I'm not going to text you his number. We're not going to play middleman there. Sorry,
yeah,
dude.
Don't facilitate. I don't want to lose you to an arrest warrant or something with bets being paid. And you, I don't know if you're legal to put a bets together or not.
9229, this is the guy that offered the bet. He said, I'm good friends with PC. Inky my bets. I don't know what Inky my bets mean. I'm resident Titans Rangers fan. All right, whatever. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our Astros stat predictions. Who's going to lead the Astros in batting average? Who's going to lead the Astros in on-base percentage? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. And Branham here to tell you all about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus in your first 3 deposits. That's right, the industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Not your only your first, not only your top 2, all 3 of your first 3, plus 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto, you don't see that anywhere. March Mania Basketball can even get more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game. A little blackjack, a little craps, where you get a 250% sign-up bonus and a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
the boys indeed at Carbach Brewing. Join us in the pub daily for lunch, dinner, and brunch on Sunday. Current pub specials, enjoy a burger and a bock plus a free glass for just $20. They got started yesterday, runs through April 10th. In celebration of Bock Day, we'll also be running $4 bocks all month long. That's a good deal. Check out our Fun, F-U-N, Series Brews, only available in the pub and beer garden. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Dayton trying to make a game of this, Blankers. 10 seed Nevada leading 7 seed Dayton 56-50. It's been a double
digit
game.
I got Dayton. I hope they do.
The Flyers had a heck of a season.
B-Mac and I are on opposite sides of this one. He's got Nevada.
Yeah,
this
I got
one
Nevada.
Of those coin flips. This is one of those coin flip games, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a 10-7 matchup, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm talking about straight odds.
Yeah. Oh, straight odds, yeah, that too. Yeah, it was definitely Nevada was definitely a live dog, if you could even call them a dog in this matchup. So they were carrying about a 10-point lead most of the game, but like you said, you know, things changed in the final few minutes.
Always get a kick out of like a lower seed being the favorite, and then they win, and everybody calls it an upset. Like Oregon.
Right,
Oregon
right.
was like that.
I was thinking
Oregon
about
was
that
when
you said
Oregon's the
Oregon
favorite,
game.
Right.
Yeah, because most people just look at the seeds for the tournament and don't look at the spreads, and then they buy into the fact that, oh, that's a huge upset, was it?
You know what's a good example of? My argument of resume versus, like, actual talent. You know what I mean? Because, like, where do you get seated on the seed line that your resume's at, but then you play the game and you win based on, like, how good you are. And that's why you see some lower seeds that are favorite. Dayton just hit a three. 56-53, Nevada in front. 3:35 to go in the second. We'll keep an eye on that, update you as we go. Who's going to lead the Astros in batting average this year? Brian goes first today. I'm second. Blankers is third. So, Brian, who is going to be the Astros' leader in batting average this season?
Yeah, this one is as easy for me as picking home runs was in the first stat that we picked. I'm going Jose Altuve. Only one guy on this team has multiple batting titles. He's been at 300 or better 2 years in a row. So I will go with Jose Altuve to lead the Astros in batting average.
Led the Astros last year in batting average.
311, yep.
311. Led it by a decent amount. Led it by 18 points.
Yeah, he was the only guy over 300 last year for the Astros.
Yeah. The guy I'm going to pick is a guy that I think is capable of winning a triple crown, and it's hard for me to not pick this guy if we're talking about an offensive stat. So I'll go with Yordan Alvarez. I think Yordan Alvarez is capable of hitting 300. I think he's clearly the number two guy to pick here as your batting average leader behind Jose Altuve. So I'll go with the chalk. I'll go with Yordan Alvarez to lead the Astros in batting. And just so our listeners know, we can't pick the same guy. Once Brian picked Altuve, I can't pick Jose Altuve. So he's off the board. So I'll go with Yordan Alvarez.
I'm going with Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker is a guy that's obviously got a contract on his mind that, you know, shows that he's capable of being in an MVP-type conversation. And I just believe that with you guys taking those guys off the board, to me it was Tucker or Bregman, and to me that's a Tucker conversation.
Yeah, I would have definitely taken Tucker over Bregman.
Yeah.
Now, Tucker still has another year left on the deal on his club control. So he's not, you know, in a contract year. Not that it would change your vote at all. Dayton just hit another three. They're tied at 56. 2.5 left to play. So that game is going down
to
the wire after Nevada led by
Flyers.
Double figures for a majority of that game. All right, let's do on-base percentage now. I have first. Blank has second. Brian has third. On-base percentage, I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to go with the offensive dude. I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez to lead the Astros in on-base percentage.
It makes sense. I'm going to stick with Kyle Tucker. I think that
I don't hate it.
Kyle Tucker's a guy that I believe is going to have a really good season. And I just think that, you know, he's a guy that I will put my money on.
Are you sucking on a Jolly Rancher?
No, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, yeah. Ice
had a bit of the pretzel here that had a lot of seeds and spice on. One I was allergic to and didn't know it, so my throat's a little.
A little peel back of the curtain. A peel back
poppy
of the
seeds.
Curtain. Joel has been. Joel had an everything bagel pretzel, and ever since he had that bagel,
it's
that
bread,
he's been struggling ever since. So
How long ago?
It's been about an hour.
Oh,
right?
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
You hit it really well. It's the first time I've noticed.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah. You don't have the visual that I have.
Cat's out of the bag now.
So what happened?
Been struggling.
Are you swelling up or anything?
My throat. Yeah. Not like a hives type situation, but yeah. Yep.
Do we need to give you an EpiPen?
No, it's not that bad yet.
If you're they, in the area,
I don't like that he said yes.
Wait till I drive home.
Interchange of 610-290 Spring Branch area. If you're around with an EpiPen that you can deliver to Blank so he does not have to be hospitalized, please do that now. It's an emergency. All right, probably,
yeah, I'll be texting you when I'm on the way home.
Dang, I didn't realize all that was happening. You hit it well. Well done. I applaud
Thank
that.
You.
You and Glenn Davis playing hurt. All right, so I want Jordan on base percentage as we move on now. Tucker second, and now Brian, you got on base percentage. After
yeah, we're all going to take the same guys then that we did for batting average, because I'm going to take Jose Altuve. I mean, certainly if you think Jose Altuve is going to lead the team in batting average, he's got a good chance to be near the top and on base percentage, and he was second on the team last year behind only Jordan, so I will take Jose Altuve for on base.
There you go. I think one guy who has a chance that we didn't pick was Bregman. Like Bregman's
I agree.
It feels weird that it's, I mean, on base percentage is Bregman's specialty and none of us took him, but I just, you know, the batting averages for the other three guys are going to be higher and it gives them an advantage.
I'm just a little worried about this 23 extra pounds and
this
boomer bust, maybe a more boomer bust
especially
mentality.
Especially if he's starting to swing, trying to swing for the fences a little more to, in a contract year, maybe that lowers his on base percentage as he starts
that.
To chase more pitches.
For sure.
If Bregman hits fourth, like a spot is kind of hinted at, 59-58 Dayton, by the way, minute 35 to play Dayton ball. They're on a 20-2 run in the last 5:40, courtesy of...
Don't love that.
Jeremy, you want to take us home? Just give us a play-by-play.
Well, that's illegal. I can't do that. If Bregman hits fourth, does that hurt or help his on-base percentage?
I think it hurts because I think he's going to be
that way
swinging from his heels a little bit more.
He's trying to drive in runs from that spot. Yeah, I think that would hurt. I think what would help his on-base percentage is, and it's something that we've talked about. I think Jeremy was the first one to bring this up, but hitting him leadoff, I think that would be a place where his on-base percentage would thrive. Maybe even hitting second would be the same way. But if you hit him fourth and he's got people on in front, he's trying to drive him in, I think that hurts his on-base a little bit.
I'm actually the opposite. I think that the drop-off, like no one hitting behind him, okay, well, a pitcher's not going to be worried about walking Alex Bregman. It depends on the situation, of course. But who are you scared of?
Even if Yonder Diaz, even if Diaz is behind?
I don't think so. I think they rather face Yonder than Bregman, depending on the situation,
okay,
or if it's Chaz. Right. I think the drop-off between the top four hitters and the fifth hitter, I don't think pitchers are going to – like if Yonder or Chaz is hitting behind Bregman versus Kyle Tucker, if you're a pitcher, which one are you scared of the least? Yiner and Chaz versus Tucker. So if
that's
not one of those guys batting behind him, I think the pitcher is going to be a little bit more careful and not be as scared to walk Bregman as opposed to if he was hitting in front of either Tucker, Jordan, Altuve, whatever.
Doesn't this really revert back to our Abreu conversation too? Because if it's Abreu of the end of the season, now that is a guy that you have to worry about because he looked like his old self. If it's the Abreu that was a disappointment, then you're absolutely right. Then I'm going to pitch around Bregman, take my chances with Abreu or a Yiner that, you know, we'll see how he hits when he's playing every day.
Sure, but I don't think it changes, though. Like, if Abreu's better, that's great. That means Abreu this year is, you know, you're a little bit more worried to pitch to him versus Abreu last year. But if Abreu's, like, a better version of himself, would you rather pitch to a better version of Abreu or Kyle Tucker?
No, but aren't you saying Bregman? Or what, didn't you say it was coming down to either Bregman or who's behind him, and it would be Abreu behind him?
Sure.
If you pitch around Bregman.
Like that's a Bregman hitting in the cleanup spot. If Bregman's hitting in the cleanup spot, I think pitchers aren't going to be worried about walking him if a better version of Jose Abreu is behind him versus if he's hitting third and you have Kyle Tucker coming up.
Oh, that's
him.
True.
You would get better pitches in the three-hole than the four-hole. And
yeah,
Bregman's
I was just
not
saying,
gonna be
if,
a guy
if he
who
stays,
chases.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, if he stays in the cleanup, And you've got Abreu hitting like he did at the end of the year behind you, there's still a good bit of concern because maybe the pop's not there like it used to be. But, you know, at the end of the season, he had some pop, and he was back, you know, putting the ball, like hitting through the holes, putting the ball
sure.
in play and
right.
getting RBIs.
Right, but that's the conversation of a this year Abreu versus a last year Abreu, where the conversation should be a this year Abreu versus a Kyle Tucker, which I'm still taking a
no,
Kyle
you're
Tucker.
Right.
Like, I mean, you pitch,
should.
Like, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to have that better version of Abreu, but you're still going to be more careful with a Kyle Tucker than a Jose Abreu.
Especially simply because, simply because of the fact that the power numbers are going to be there for Tucker and you're not worried about him, as opposed to a guy, you'll just, almost everything you get from, like, an HR perspective from Abreu is like, you don't expect it, it's icing on the cake.
713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Dayton just got a big steal against Nevada. Dayton leads by one, 15 seconds to play. They're going to the free throw line, so still coming down to the wire there. When we return, car wreck of the day. What are we nominating for today's car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. My colleague, Go Cougs, U of H class of 1990, he's been protecting the interest of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRMP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, well, it's second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service. We use HRMP at Gal, of course. Anytime I have a question, I always get a quick response, very easy to understand, whether it's by phone, whether it's via email. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. That's 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
How about a car wreck of the day being Nevada for blowing a double-digit lead and losing to Dayton 62-60. Flyers moving
Take
on.
Take that, B-Mac. Boom.
He's blank on Brandon. Boys at Carbach.
Second worst thing to ever happen in Nevada.
They treat you all right at Carbach today?
Yeah. I mean, the food's been, other than Joel maybe having his throat swollen shut, the food's been great.
Man, food's great. This place is awesome.
Both Joe and Paul had a steak taco. They said it was one of the best steak tacos they've ever had.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And I had a fried chicken Korean rice bowl that was very, very good.
The gentleman in front of us just got fish and chips, and the fish looks really, really good.
Yeah, because the beer batters with the Carbach beer. So, yeah, that's definitely something I'd want to try out.
Is he dipping it in the malt vinegar?
I can't really
see. I'm getting shouldered out of the side of the plate, but the big pieces of fish look really good.
More girth talk? Is that what we need to close the show?
He may be a professional leader. I don't know.
Thanks to Carbach for feeding my friends well. Great food, great beer. Looking forward to being out there next time that we're out at Carbach. The boys will be out at Nick's place tomorrow, so going from one really good place to another really good place.
Yes, we will.
Well again, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, why don't you do the honor?
Well, I know there's plenty of obvious ones that we can choose from. I'm not, because as you have said, and we are we do not hold back. Everybody's eligible. I'm nominating my wife.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I'm nominating my wife because this morning, in the middle of the lightning, the thunder, the rain, the horrible weather, I went out and braved the elements, walked all four of our big dogs, came back in. She basically said good morning. Didn't say a whole lot more than that. I just, kept going about all the other things I had to do, and then happened to turn the TV on when she came on the news and was doing the news in the noon hour, and she goes, "Oh, major props to my husband. I was so happy today. He braved the storm and the elements, and he went out and walked all four dogs. Shout out to my husband." I'm like, so I can't get a shout out in the kitchen, but you can go on TV and act like a hero because you can shout me out. Come on now.
You know what I'm kind of learning? I think your love language is words of affirmation. I think that I might be your wife, and I think you might be my wife.
Well, you're my work wife. That's different.
Yeah. I just meant from like a love language perspective.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to love language with you, so that's fine.
I think Lisa and I have like the same love language where you need – like I'm not a big words for – I'm not a words of affirmation kind of guy. I don't need affirmating words. I like good actions and stuff like that. But I don't need the compliments. But I'm learning that you are, which is good. I think it's going to help our relationship because I know what you need to thrive.
Okay. We'll see.
This is not that I'm going to do it, but I
right, exactly.
Do as I say, not as I do. I'm sure you guys mentioned the interpreter yesterday, so I don't need to go with the interpreter today. I'll go with Yoshinobu Yamamoto instead. His first outing in the bigs, first outing with the Los Angeles Dodgers today. It was not good. 43 pitches, 23 strikes, gave up 4 runs on 4 hits, walked the guy over an inning of work. Now, I did punch out two guys, but gave up 5 runs in 1 inning of work. His ERA, 45. That's going to be a tough one to bring down. No,
that's not return on investment early on.
No, not great. You know, you had to bring in the interpreter who has brought on all this scandal, whether it was him or not, and then you had to bring in Yamamoto as friend for Shohei Ohtani. I hope he's a bust. I hope he's not very good, just because I don't like the Dodgers. I like Yamamoto. I don't know anything about him. I just don't like the Dodgers. So I hope he's a big bust.
I'm with you on that. B-Mac, what you got?
So I'm sure you guys have obviously heard the story about the Long Beach team where they fired their coach, and then he went on to win the conference tournament to make the NCAA tournament. Well, now their AD, who fired said coach and then saw that team make it to the NCAA tournament because they won their conference tournament, is trying to actually take credit for it. So there's a quote from the Associated Press. The Long Beach AD says as follows: "My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did," Bobby Smitherin told the Associated Press on Thursday, a few hours before Long Beach tipped off against Arizona. The quote continues: "I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked." He is trying He is trying to take credit for firing his coach and that being the inspiring move to get the
and
Long Beach
standing
team.
By it too. Dan Monson, the coach, who was 500 in conference, won 20 games, and then he comes out and goes, "But I'm looking for the consistency of doing this kind of thing every year." That's why he came to me and said it would be better if we moved in another direction. Come on, man.
Well, I don't think he's going to find a better coach. Is he wrong? Is he wrong?
Is he wrong what? To want that? How do you know he's not that guy?
I'm saying, is he wrong that he didn't play a part of this? Like, he fired the guy, and then what happened since the firing? They won the conference tournament. They played in the NCAA tournament. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. They played better basketball since he did this.
He's not on car wreck because he's wrong, although it would be impossible to prove that he's right. He's on car wreck because he's trying to take credit for something they didn't do.
All he's saying is that it worked. He said he's not trying to pat himself on the back.
Yeah, but that's what people say while they pat themselves on the back and break their own back while doing so.
I'm just saying, he's not
wrong. That's like people saying with all due respect right before they insult you. It's like
respectfully.
You're trying to take credit when you say not to pat myself on the back.
Who was the comedian that said as long as you say bless his heart at the end, you could say whatever about somebody?
I don't remember, but yeah, same rule applies.
Jeff Foxworthy?
It might have been Foxworthy.
It wasn't Jeff Foxworthy, but it was someone else on the Southern Tour. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Is Jim Engvall the name that... Who was Jim Engvall? Why am I
thinking
of Jim
Engvall? Oh, it was Bill Engvall.
Oh, Bill Engvall. I guess that's why I'm thinking it.
Yeah, it's Bill Engvall.
One more. James Harden for closing out on his teammate Kawhi Leonard.
I saw that, and Leonard missed the shot, which was brutal.
Good, best defense he's ever played, that James Harden.
It's quite possibly true.
So funny.
Who's winning?
I'm not giving it to your wife. I'm going to go Yamamoto.
That's fair.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because I hate the
Screw
Dodgers.
Screw the Dodgers. Yeah.
Congratulations, Yonosubu Yamamoto. You're our car wreck of the day. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks for Carbach for having the station out. Thanks to Abigail for doing all the hard work. Brian, on-site engineering. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Game on with Jerome Solomon, Barry Laminack. Comes up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.